Okay. Hey, everybody. All right. My plan is to do just a quick progress update. And then I know Sync wanted to chat a little bit about the BIP-80 proposal. I invited Tom from the Treasury to join as well for that. And then if anybody has any specific questions or updates they want me to talk about, happy to also jump into that. Just drop it into the chat and then I will invite Sync and Tom up here in a sec. Just me today. Chubby is off today. And yeah, where are we at right now? We have had the new knowledge graph and art engine up and running under the hood. So it's moving. There have been a couple of mints from the new intent model, and we've shared Botto's like summaries of the intent that it developed in developing those when those were minted, and then a couple of mints not from intent. So interesting to see. It's been, I think, interesting to have almost like a blind taste test of kind of the results of intent versus the what we've called like the shotgun approach, which is essentially all the other methods. Those methods being Botto writing these prompts for all the different text image models, making about 70,000 images a week. Reminder that the new intent model is much slower, 200 to 300 images a week, and it's developing intent. It takes a nugget from its knowledge graph, develops a hypothesis of what it would like to create around, and then writes prompts and iterates and reviews those prompts, comparing to past works. It's a quite a fascinating process to see. And what we've been working very hard on is making the new scaffold for being able to see not just the new elements of Botto system, but as much of the entirety of the system as you can as exists. And so we've been going back and forth about how much to show, and we really feel strongly about showing as fully baked of a visualization as we can. I think if you were here at the last town hall, we did a walkthrough of the status of that. I think some folks here have maybe actually gotten a personal walkthrough by Chuby. The plan is to share a beta of the scaffold in the next week or two. And then for the new period, October 7th, have a new and it, have it be fully interactive. And what I mean by that is really focusing on the reason it takes time is because of what we need to solve for the feedback loops, not just the interaction. So how do you interact with different agents to understand what they do, understand what the knowledge graph does, but then also giving feedback to different parts of Botto's process. And there will still continue to be the basic voting on images in the voting pool, but exposing Botto's ongoing process of creating new images for the voting pool, we want to also create ways to give feedback to that part and really opening up the whole studio. So that requires defining what the feedback, what the inputs are, what the feedback loop is, and an economy around that. And planning for October 7th gives us enough runway to really polish up all the elements of that system and have a really big push around that come October. So that's the gist of the plan right now. We are building up all the different components of that. Again, if you've gotten the walkthrough, you've seen a lot of this stuff is built, but we're defining the interactions and the overall experience around that. At the same time, we have a ton of things coming for the fall. Not only is it the launch of that new interaction, that new scaffold, and really revealing the entirety of Botto's new system. It's also Botto's 4th anniversary. We have the Genesis book coming out in October. It will be the special edition. November will be the full release. Before that, we have the Neorealism book coming out, and we are posting a couple proposals probably today and tomorrow for a solo show with Eterno, with some prints, as well as a collaboration with Avant Art, this incredible printmaker that has done just a lot of basically the like leader in the industry in terms of printmaking and custom prints that have over 2 million followers on Instagram and can be a really great moment for Botto's reach. So we'll be presenting those proposals very shortly. And on top of that, we're also working on ways of producing physicals for Botto's one-of-one mints for collectors to have on their wall, and also how those might feed into maybe additioned works that could reach more collectors. I've gotten really interesting feedback from collectors about how open they are to having their works reproduced and even sold as editions. They really care about the canonical one-of-one NFT, but in terms of physical reproductions, they're very interested about expanding the reach of the image and creating a market for those physicals. A lot of development we've been working on there and expecting those to be fully formed in proposals coming very soon. So yeah, we'll follow up with a written update on all of those elements, the calendar items. I think I'm going to cut that fairly short. I don't want to repeat too much from the last town hall or just think something that will be really digestible in the written update. But if anybody has any questions about like different elements of the development, other things I haven't mentioned that they want to know about, happy to answer those if you drop them in the chat. But for now, I'm going to invite up Sync and Tom to talk about BIP 80. So let me bring you guys up.
All right.
Like to speak. Okay, you guys are both invited to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, Sync, you want to catch us up on BIP 80?
Hey, Simon. Thanks. Do you hear me okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, great. Thanks for giving me the time to speak today. I appreciate it. So yeah, BIP 80 is really a proposal that's been on the governance forum site now for about 3 weeks or so. And the idea really is to build on several elements of the strategic mandate that the DAO approved at the end of last year, the BIP 66. So the primary take-home message really is building on that vis-a-vis long-term liquidity solutions, building out Bado's presence on base, and by extension, advancing Bado's visibility within the broader crypto market. So it really is an all-encompassing proposal. It's not just liquidity-focused, although the centerpiece of it is liquidity, and that is from which everything else builds out from. So this is something that I worked on in collaboration with the DeFi Collective. So the DeFi Collective is a nonprofit organization. They're based in Europe, and essentially you can think of them as a growth accelerator, but instead of how Consensus is, for example, a growth accelerator for Ethereum, Joe Lubin broke off from the Ethereum Foundation. He formed Consensus. There's a for-profit initiative. The DeFi Collective was founded by Token Bryce. So he was a growth contributor to Liquidy Protocol. And he broke off from the Liquidy Protocol team. He started the DeFi Collective as a nonprofit growth accelerator. Started off with focus on Liquidy Protocol and is engaging now with other projects across the space. So they have had engagements with Pool Together, for example, Possum Labs. And so what their focus is really trying to help smaller projects in the space grow out their liquidity. That's really the idea here. Mm-hmm. I know Bryce from my engagement with the Liquidy Protocol team and that project, I've followed that project for several years now. I reached out to Bryce. He's known about Brado for a while. And so essentially, they're offering to help out with both liquidity and growth-related initiatives. So the idea would be that they would support the launch of a Bado and Bold stablecoin pool on Base. They're asking for a one-time contribution of $25,000 in Bado from the DAO. And in exchange for that, they would contribute $25,000 of Bold from their treasury. They would pair it with the Bado. They would launch the Bado and Bold pool on Aerodrome, which is the predominant DEX on Base right now. The pool would be a basic volatile pool. It would have a 0.3% trading fee. And DeFi Collective would commit two things in addition to the $25,000 in Bold. They would commit, number one, to incentivize the pool with 20% of the Bold that they allocate to Aerodrome bribes from their Liquidy V2 protocol incentivized liquidity initiative. And what that is essentially is every week Liquidy Protocol's revenue is divvied up. So 75% of the revenue from Bold stablecoin holders who are paying fees to maintain their loans, right? So 75% of those fees go to what they call stability pool depositors, which is, not to get too technical, but they just keep Liquidy's protocol secure, right? So if there's liquidations or whatever, all the Bold in the stability pool covers that. So 75% of that revenue is directed to stability pool depositors to keep them incentivized to stay in the stability pool. The other 25% goes to what they call protocol incentivized liquidity. So PIL, the acronym for that, it's completely decentralized. So projects can come forward, they can submit a protocol incentivized liquidity initiative proposal, and Liquidy voters or Liquidy stakers would vote on that, on those proposals, right? So there's various initiatives right now. The DeFi Collective is the second largest recipient of PIL weekly. Again, because of the context I provided earlier, they are recognized as a public good within the Liquidity ecosystem, right? So they're like the consensus of Liquidity protocol in a nonprofit perspective. So Liquidity users are very familiar with them, and they allocate their voting power to support their PIL initiative. And then what the DeFi Collective does is they take that BOLD, and so every week they take the BOLD that they're allocated and they split it in two, right? And so half of that BOLD goes to Aerodrome bribes for pools that they support on Aerodrome. So what they would be committing to the proposed Bado plus BOLD pool is they would take 20% of that 50%, and they would direct it to the Bado and BOLD pool for to incentivize vote escrow Aero holders in Aerodrome to support the pool. So that would be in perpetuity. So the nice thing is here, Otto wouldn't have to actually go forward and try to submit a PIL initiative itself. The way, for example, if you look at, it's all on chain. So you can see, for example, Ikubu Protocol, which is a DEX, I believe, on Starknet, I believe. It's one of the L2s on Ethereum. Kubo Protocol is like an up-and-coming DEX. They have their own PIL initiative. They have to bribe liquidity stakers to get them to support their PIL initiative. There's another PIL initiative for Smart DEX. So the beauty of this proposal is Bado as a project, as a DAO, we wouldn't have to actually submit our own or advocate or upkeep our own PIL initiative, right? It would all be covered under the DeFi Collective, under their existing initiative. And they would commit 20% of what they allocate to Aerodrome bribes for the Bado plus BOLD pool. So that's the first commitment in terms of an ongoing commitment. And then the second ongoing commitment would be they would allocate 100,000 of their vote escrow Aero holdings to support the pool weekly with voting power. So irrespective of how much BOLD they are able to generate from their PIL initiative, because it fluctuates, right? So every week, Liquidity V2's revenue fluctuates. It's based off of the revenue, right? So how much BOLD they get, that could vary, right? But their voting power, their vote escrow Aero that they would commit, the 100,000, that would be locked in. That would ensure that there's a continuity of Aero emissions going to LPs in the pool. You know, this DAO, my experience with it is not many of the users are familiar with how DeFi works, and that's fine. But I think it's good to understand the nuances here, because I think many people are familiar with Uniswap, for example. They probably had at some point or another tried being LPs. The difference between Aerodrome and Uniswap, with Uniswap, if you're a liquidity provider, you get the fees from that pool, right? With Aerodrome, it doesn't work that way. So the way Aerodrome works is the Aero token is like your access. It's kind of like how the Bado token is our access to Bado. The Aero token is the access to Aerodrome. How it works is every week, VE Aero, like vote escrow Aero, people lock their Aero tokens, and so they vote with their Aero tokens as voting escrow Aero, VE Aero. And the fees for the pools that they support, in addition to any bribes that those pools receive, go to the VE Aero voters, right? So all the whereas the liquidity providers in these pools, all of them, every pool on Aerodrome, their only incentive is the Aero emissions. So you might ask, why would we want to support something that incentivized with a token that's not related to Bado? This isn't something that's unique to this proposal. Every Aerodrome pool works this way. Now, the idea is that in farming Aero, liquidity providers in farming Aero, the idea would then be that at least some of them would then lock their Aero as VE Aero and then vote on that pool that they're also a liquidity provider for, right? Because the idea would then be that they would then get the fees, the trading fees for that pool, in addition to any bribes that are directed at that pool. Does that make sense? So it's like a flywheel. You provide liquidity in Aerodrome because you want to earn Aero, because you want to then lock the Aero, so then you can earn the fees and the bribes for the pools that you support. I hope that kind of encapsulates how Aerodrome works. And so this is a self-sustaining initiative because aside from the initial $25,000 donation in Bado that, you know, to the DeFi Collective, after that, this would cost nothing for Bado DAO, right? Because the ongoing commitment from the DeFi Collective is number one, it would commit that 20% of the bold that they receive and allocate to Aerodrome bribes. Number two, they would commit 100,000 of their own VE Aero voting power to the pool weekly, indefinitely. So it really, to me, aligns with the BIP 66 strategic mandate. It was very clear. I'm quoting directly from there. It said, on the horizon to address is liquidity incentives running out in October 2025. There's earmarked BOTO to address this and assure healthy liquidity is maintained past that deadline. So what is that in reference to, that earmarked BOTO? It's in reference to BIP 42, right, which we approved as a DAO a year and a half ago almost, right, which allocated up to 4 million BOTO to liquidity solutions. Now, as Tom had noted in the discussion thread, about 1.2 million of that BOTO has already been allocated to protocol and liquidity, right? So we've been working on building the DAO's protocol and liquidity over the past year. We've been very good at that, and I think that's commendable. But BIP 42 wasn't exclusive to protocol and liquidity, right? Under the specification section of BIP 42, you can see it says BOTO DAO may use up to 4 million treasury BOTO for OTC deals and or other liquidity. So when we approved BIP 42 in 2024, the idea was that, oh, we were building off of the momentum of the VC raise that had happened earlier that year. The idea was, hey, maybe larger stakeholders might step up and want to also participate in an OTC manner. And then that OTC raise would then be used to build up protocol and liquidity, but that never happened, right? So we ended up doing it ourselves from revenue, which we've been successful at, right? We've used 1.2 million BOTO of that 4 million. This proposal would allow us to essentially continue that momentum with a fraction of the BOTO that's left, right? So if you take the current BOTO price is 28 cents, 25,000 in BOTO at the current BOTO price is about 90,000 BOTO. It's 2-3% of, I believe, what's left, 2.8 million BOTO. So it's not, we're not asking for 500,000 BOTO here, 1 million BOTO. To me, it's a very reasonable request, considering the potential benefits and considering also the commitment that DeFi Collective is making up front here. They're making a $25,000 commitment themselves to the pool from the bold in their treasury, in addition to their 100,000 vote escrow power, which at the current Aero price, it's about $75,000-$80,000 of value, that in and of itself. That's the immediate upfront commitment. And that doesn't even consider the ongoing bold commitment that they would be providing from their PIL initiative. So I hope that summarizes it for everybody. I know we've talked about this a few weeks ago on the call, Simon, and I didn't have as many details as I do now because in fielding the questions we had discussed in that call several weeks ago in the town hall, and talking with other people about this idea after I presented it, I was able to get more clarification, and I hope that summarizes everything, that key points, and happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Sync. Yeah, I think Tom is on the other side of the debate, and so I figured maybe let Tom respond and share the other side of the perspective. Pikachu.
You guys hear me okay? Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you putting the BIP together. I guess from my perspective, and I share the same sentiment with Raul as well, is that there are a few things to go through just based on what you outlined. But the main thing from our perspective is that we don't need additional liquidity based on how much we currently have in our own PLL, especially given the size of the current market cap and current volume and current trading activity. Adding additional, regardless of how much it is, even if it's a dollar, doesn't really make any sense, especially when there is not that much trading activity. That's like the overarching thing, is that for us, doesn't make sense to add more. Taking out from our treasury and putting into whatever kind of liquidity pool it is, it just doesn't make sense. Secondly, I guess from the proposal specifically to the bold and bottle pool proposal, the underlying part where, you know, from my perspective, that I don't really see is that there really isn't any accountability, right? I know it's hard to measure, but at the end of the day, you're basically TLDR, it's like you're asking the DAO to give $25,000 away and just hoping that there is some sort of marketing, there is some sort of user trading, there's some sort of something, but then and it's permanently gone, right? Because it's a, I think what you call it, like a donation to the collective, but then there is really nothing in return, right? Like, the way from our, from my perspective that I would get comfortable, right? It's at least there must be some sort of accountability. So either that there is, you can do the donation or whatever it is, but then after a year, and then if there are no KPIs that were met, the DAO has the ability to call the $25,000 back, right? It's just giving away money to the negative sense, right? Because if you look at our current PLL, the way we're doing it is that it's controlled by the DAO, right?
I'd be fine with that. I would actually, I would personally return $25,000 in Bato back to the DAO if this doesn't prove to be successful. Me, personally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the, that's how we're looking at it. And then the other part where this is, I was talking to Chuby about this on what other alternative that we could do is that instead of having TDC put in the bold, why can't the DAO put in the bold themselves and we are farming the arrow instead of having somebody else farm the arrow? Because if we're talking about actually like having something that could work, right? If you do believe in it, that this could work and having tapping into this DeFi and different sort of audience, that there could be traction. If the upside is there, why wouldn't the DAO want to take advantage of it versus having somebody else be the recipient of all the L rewards and basically farm?
No, that's a good question, Tom. No, I appreciate that. So the benefit, as I explained earlier, with the bull bribes, right, it's coming from the DeFi collectives, their own self-managed, self-advocated PIL initiative. So they manage that themselves. They deal with the outreach and the engagement that on an ongoing basis to keep that up with the Liquidy community, right? So the benefit here is we don't have to do that. We don't have to be like Ukubo Protocol or SmartDex. We don't have to manage our own PIL initiative. We would be under the umbrella of TDC in that sense. So that's why the pool would be under their oversight as far as they would pair the bold with the bottle that they receive and then they would lock it. And then, but that doesn't preclude us as a DAO, right, from farming arrow. So to your point in the discussion, and you had a good point, right? You said, what can we as a compromise, maybe reallocate some of the POL from mainnet to this? I would even add to that. I would say, why don't we take maybe a double digit percentage of the POL from mainnet and add it to that baseline of liquidity that TDC would launch? We could add it to the pool and we could farm the arrow. We would get, we'd have a guaranteed, the DAO would receive a guaranteed amount of arrow because TDC would be standing by that pool with 100,000 V arrow of their own voting power every week. So by from the jump, the DAO's contribution to the pool would be that would allow the DAO to earn arrow emissions. In addition to obviously added emissions that we would get because of the bribes that, and obviously the support of other V arrow voters. I hope that's clear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, then that makes perfect sense. And I appreciate you saying that, like, because like for me is adding more doesn't make sense, but if it's repurposing, that makes more sense to me because it's one, it's already, we already have way too much given the size and given the volume. It makes sense to repurpose it. And then two is to the point that you encountered is that we do want that ability to call it back if it doesn't work. Obviously, like we want to give it some legs, so give it a leash of like maybe like a year. Give it because like, typically that's how we have all our stuff. It's like a year sort of programs that we can see if it actually works. If it does, great, we keep it. If it doesn't, then you know the DAO should be able to have the ability to take it back and maybe use it somewhere else. Because that's my concern is that we're instead of just throwing money away, we should be able to have control over the funds for the DAO.
Yeah, there's a cost to every initiative that we've done, right? So every collaboration that we've done, there's been a cost, right? We don't know the benefits until we actually execute, right? So there's an estimation. I can give you an estimation as far as what the potential is, but I can't definitively guarantee a TVL of such and such or such and such, right? But we can have targets, right?
So yeah, on that sure. point, that's all I'm asking, right? It's having some sort of KPIs have everybody be accounted for, and then if it doesn't, at least we tried, right?
Yeah, and here's my thing, right? And I full disclosure, like I messaged both Simon and Chuby about this ahead of this call to see if there would be time for this. So I appreciate the time that's been afforded to me to talk about this proposal. And I made it clear to Chuby privately, like I told him, I said, I don't expect a governance reward for this. I'd be grateful for a decentralized contribution, but even then, I don't even want that if we don't hit a TVL of at least $1 million. I'm personally confident that this pool can hit a million TVL. I told Chuby that. And I don't even want a decentralized contribution if that doesn't happen. And why is $1 million a target, Tom, just so you're clear? If you look up Liquidity's Dune Analytics dashboard, they have a bold yield dashboard now. So Liquidity's team, and they manage this themselves, so it's really nice too. Again, the benefits of all this too is like a lot of the legwork is off of the Botto's core team, so they can focus on what they do best, which is building Botto. Bold yield dashboard covers all the bold opportunities that are on-chain, whether mainnet or L2s, where the TVL of the underlying opportunity is at least a million. So I think I cited this to Simon in the discussion thread. I can link to it again for your ease of reference after this call. But that's why I'm targeting a million, because it would then give the Botto and Bold pool that visibility on that dashboard. And I think it would be like a clear sign that we've achieved something significant here, because we're now on that dashboard. We're listed amongst all the other noteworthy opportunities for Bold holders to drive yield on chain. So that's why I hope that also clarifies that $1 million point for you.
Yeah, no, that's helpful, and I appreciate it. That's good. If you're confident, that we can hit that, let's put it out there, and then let's hope that we get there.
Yeah, and like I clarified with DeFi Collective after the last town call, so that 25,000 in Botto donation, it's not refundable, right? Because what DeFi Collective is committing, and you mentioned like accountability, right? The immediate accountability we're going to see is that they're going to launch the pool, right? So we're going to see that up front. The second accountability we're going to see is we're going to be able to track this all on chain, because Aerodrome even has a dashboard on doing. You can see how much voting power is being allocated to pools, right, from V-Aero holders. So we're going to see that 100,000 commitment. We're going to all see it. It's all public. It's all on chain. So that's the second kind of point as far as accountability. And then the third accountability is, I would say if the pool doesn't hit a minimum TVL of, let's say, a quarter million within a year, then maybe we can define that as not successful. I don't know what that would be. Because, for example, that's what we have to agree on. What is the definition of not successful? So the reason I ask that is, we launched, for example, the Uniswap V2 pool on Base, right, with POL. But that pool really hasn't grown aside from that POL contribution when the Base integration happened last fall. I think the TVL right now for that pool is about 120,000. So I would say that this is a successful initiative if within a year it's above 120,000, because that, to me, should be like the Uniswap V2 pools like are like the low standard. The high standard would be, I would say, a million, which would get us on that dashboard. But again, we can iron out, like, what does the DAO define as not successful? Because we also, I think it's also fair to consider how much bold bribes are allocated to that pool over the course of the next year, for example. So does TDC fulfill their end of the bargain? So do they honor the bold bribes? Do they keep up with that 100,000 V-Aero voting power? If at any point they renege on that, then I would say that's not successful either. But I trust them that they won't. Like how we trust other protocols when we've done initiatives with them, right? Like we did this token swap with Super Rare, and Super Rare has been a very wonderful stakeholder for Botto, in my opinion, even though there's been disagreements about their fees and stuff. I still think they're a wonderful stakeholder. But we did that token swap, right? So there's an element of trust there too, right? Where, hey, we're trusting that they won't sell that million, right? Because that million also, in a sense, backs the community access passes that were tied to that, right? There is an element of trust with this. I'm not going to deny that, Tom. That's just how crypto works. But I would imagine that given TDC's track record, and you can look up Token Bryce, he's done multiple speeches at ETH Belgrade, for example. They're based in Europe primarily. He's a public figure, and I hope that gives some assurance in that regard too.
I guess the thing is, I'm not worried about their name or whatever.
Right.
Who they are. It's more, I guess, the wording or how it's presented, right? Mm-hmm. Essentially, you're paying for services. That's basically what it is, right? Because you're giving them $25,000 worth of bottle, you're getting a service in return. And it's not right. really anything else. Like, that's the bare minimum. That's what it is, right? Because right. you can say it's like you're creating a pool and doing all that stuff, but like at the end of the day, you're giving them money so that they could create a pool, bribe the pool, and then hope that you can grow and create transactions and have more users and all that stuff. You're not, it's marketing. You're paying $25 for marketing.
It's a little bit of both, right? It's a little bit of both, right? It's not just liquidity and it's not just marketing. It's a both, right? So as far as a KPI also, and I had alluded to this on the town hall a few weeks ago to Simon and Chuby, doing Twitter spaces with our core team, with the TDC contributors, with potentially the Liquidy protocol team, potentially with other projects that are linked to the Liquidy ecosystem, that type of visibility to me would be an added kind of indication that this was successful and as far as its justification to increase Bado's awareness within the crypto market, right? Because also you recall from the strategic mandate too, and it was admitted that we are in a hyper-competitive attention economy. And so how does this project continue to thrive in that? We have to extend our hand and extend it to those who extend it to us, right? In hopes that maybe we can build something wonderful together. And so that's really the goal here. And I stand by this, me personally. Like, if this is a total flop, if at any point in the next year, this just ends up being like, I think Raul mentioned this, but what if this is just like this just stays as a $50,000 pool and it's just TDC and nobody it caps out of 100,000 or something? I would say, okay, if this pool grows to no more than 100,000 within a year, I would say that's not successful. And I would personally return 25,000 in Bado back to the DAO myself. Because I would feel like, okay, I wasted everybody's time. But I'm confident enough in this that I don't think that'll be the case. And on top of that, I'm even more confident that I don't even want any consideration for some sort of decentralized contribution unless this pool gets to 1 million TVL. Because to me, that would be like, that's the target. And I think it's achievable. I think it's achievable within the next year, especially with the LM program ending in October, because we're going to have LPs on mainnet that may still want to participate in Bado, but maybe they just don't have time. They don't want to do the voting every week to get the active rewards. Maybe their primary thing is just being LPs and they're just professional LPs and they just want to keep doing that. Here's an opportunity for them to keep doing that. That still benefits the project. I do think we can hit that 1 million TVL. I think it's possible within the next year. And I would definitely say, as a minimum benchmark, 100,000. So does that sound agreeable to you? If this doesn't grow to more than 100,000 TVL, then I would say that's not successful within the next year. Does that sound agreeable? I don't know. What is your definition of not successful? Because we have to clarify that.
Yeah, I don't have it off the top of my head. And we have to look in the numbers, but TVL is one. And the other one will be volume as well, right? Like transactional volume with our existing POL and how that compares. So the one thing, I guess I was just like thinking out loud is like, obviously Bold is a different stablecoin. It's completely within its own ecosystem with its own audience. Why, I guess like just, this is just more like on the other side. Currently, obviously, I don't really know the details, but obviously the founding team is doing some sort of bribes for the Aerodrome pool for Bado.
Right. You're talking about the Bado ETH pool, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What if instead of doing 25,000 there and for this initiative, we do our own bribes on our end? So like instead of the founding team, we are the ones that's using our Bado to incentivize people to, like, to your point, like liquidity mining program is ending. Potentially, some people want to swap over to Base and then be able to at least earn some reward this way.
Yeah, benefit.
And that's something they're more familiar versus a bold token that not a lot of holders and people are not.
Again, check this, right? So this is the beauty of Aerodrome. So if you're going to be an LP in Aerodrome, you're not going to get the bribes. You're going to get the Aero emissions, irrespective of what pool you're in, right? So if I'm a LP in the Bottle ETH pool or the Bottle Bowl pool, it doesn't make a difference. I'm getting Aero rewards in either case. Now, if I then lock that Aero as voted as
I get that part. I'm just saying about how many holders are there, right? There are more ETH holders than Bolt holders. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. I would say that the benefit is with right now I'm on Aerodrome right now, there's about 4 to 5 million of Bolt between the Bolt LUSD pool and the Bolt USDC pool. So Liquidy V2 protocol, it works on mainnet, right? So if you want to borrow Bolt against your ETH or your LST ETH, you have to do it on mainnet. But then you can migrate the Bolt to different L2s and use it in different yield opportunities on those L2s. So the benefit would be, for example, the LM program's ending in October. Let's say there's a large independent LP in that program. They're going to withdraw their Bottle and ETH, right? They have Bottle and they have ETH. They might decide, okay, I see this Bottle and Bolt pool on base. I don't want to sell my Bottle. I have a bunch of ETH that I just withdrew as well. I can maybe borrow some Bolt against that ETH. I can then take it with the Bottle and I can provide liquidity in that Bottle Bolt pool and earn Aero, right? It also adds some element of like sophistication in terms of how people can engage with Bottle, because now you are opening the door for more sophisticated DeFi users to then say, hey, I don't have to actually use my ETH outright here. Be a liquidity provider for Bottle. I can just borrow against it, borrow this recognized stablecoin against it, pair it with Bottle and participate that way. So it opens the doors as far as like the types of users we would be drawing. In terms of number of users, yeah, Liquidy is not as big as Ethereum without a doubt. Yeah, there's a lot more ETH holders on mainnet on any L2 than there are on of any independent project token or stablecoin for that matter. Liquidy V2's TVL right now is about 160 million. So there's a lot of value in it, but obviously it's collateralized. So there's the Bolt supply is not 160 million. Right now it's about 43 million. But with the growth of Liquidy V2, hopefully, the benefit also of this proposal is that TDC is committing to 20% of that 50% they allocate to Aerodrome bribes, right? So as TDC's PIL initiative, as hopefully that grows over time with the revenue growth of V2, auto benefits. So there's a lot of like different things to consider here. I would definitely say I think TVL is a fair benchmark. If this doesn't hit, let's say 100,000 within the next year, then I would say it's a failure of a pool, because nobody aside from TDC and maybe couple other LPs joined it. I don't see that happening though. As far as volume, I can't hold to that, because there's no way for me to guarantee volume. It's like with Aerodrome, it's like you can have a rough idea of like where TVL is going to stand based off of bribes and looking at how other pools bribe and how that works as far as the support they would get from V Aero holders and then Aero emissions and then the type of TVL there's comparables. I could give you TVL comparables. I don't think you can hold me to volume though. So as long as the DAO doesn't hold me to volume, I think volume is more of I think that's more of a holistic effort, right? That's collectively as a DAO, like getting the project's name out there and making.
Oh, I don't mean that. I don't mean volume like a specific number, but the way I look at volume is like whatever the Uniswap pool and the base pool is, you have to outperform that. That's the way I look at it. Or just a Uniswap pool, wherever like RPL is, like outperform that, right? Because the way I see it is, yes, there is lending. People want to, if they really are into DeFi and they really know how to manage risk, yeah, they can lend against their ETH and then participate in the bull pool and then be exposed to other price risks. That's fine. That's whoever wants to do that's their prerogative. The thing is, for a lot of users, they have ETH. Like you said, if they unstake their current existing LP, they have ETH, they get Bottle back. And then they want to buy Bottle. They have ETH, right? So like you're basically creating an extra layer of fees on top, right? Because you have to convert. If you go to any smart router, it's going to take your ETH, convert it to Bolt, and then from Bolt to Bottle instead of just ETH to straight to bottle because there is a pool that's for that already.
That's true, but I would also just, so for awareness, we all know, I think Simon had mentioned this, like now everything that's on base is going to be tradable soon, if not it already, through Coinbase directly. So because Bold already has liquid pools with USDC, it's already, we're essentially opening the door now by creating this pool. USDC holders through Coinbase could just easily swap into Bold and then boom, they can participate with Bado. So I hear what you're saying as far as the ETH, there's maybe that extra layer between ETH and Bold, but like, the benefit here is we're tapping into that stablecoin user base that we're not otherwise tapping into because we don't have a Bado stable pool. So this allows us to
I
do
agree.
That.
That's why I'm I agree with that. Why I'm saying like having a volume metric is important, right? People are using smart routers, do it for you. They'll literally, you don't have to pick, right? It'll pick like, all right, whether it's I should route it through the Bold Bado pool or I should route it through the ETH Bado pool, whichever has the best price for the user. It'll do it for you because it's a smart router.
I'm looking at the Uniswap.
I'm saying if it works, then you should have double the volume or whatever it is. So that if Uniswap is doing 50,000 a day or a month, then this to be considered successful, it should at least do more than that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just looking at the Uniswap V2 pool on base right now. The 24-hour volume is $3,000. So I think this pool could do that. I don't have any. If that's the minimum, then yeah. As long as it beats that, and then let's say, as long as it exceeds 100,000 TVL by the end of the year, after 12 months, I'm not even aiming for 100,000. I think potentially 1 million is definitely doable. So, all else considered, right? Assuming as a project, we also keep up and keep the momentum going with all the developments that the core team is doing, right? So there's a lot of moving parts here, but I think at least 100,000 TVL and then beating that 24-hour volume on Uniswap is definitely doable. I think that's within reach for sure in the near term. Yeah, I'm happy we had this conversation. And I would also say, Tom, like, I would encourage, I don't want to package it with this proposal because I feel like this proposal also has a lot already to it. But if you and the core team and other stakeholders of notable worth are open to the idea, I do think maybe taking some of the Uniswap POL on mainnet, not all of it, because again, most of Bado users right now still are on mainnet. I think it's important to acknowledge that we want to keep that volume there, the liquidity there, but even just experimenting with maybe 10% of that POL and adding it to this Bold Bado pool to farm the arrow rewards it would be a good litmus test as far as how much can the DAO generate through other revenue streams. And I think adding it to that, to this pool, if it's approved by the DAO, I think it's worthwhile, especially with, we know it's going to get arrow rewards, right? Because of the TDC's voting power, it's by default, it's going to get some baseline with that 100,000 V arrow on top of not counting all the other stuff with the bribes and stuff. But I think that's maybe a separate proposal. Would you agree? I don't want to include it into this, but
yeah, it should be after. Like, I would be open to it. It just, well, obviously we want to see some sort of traction and see how it performs. Mm-hmm. And if it makes sense, then obviously the DAO should try to take advantage of it as well. Yeah. And that also helps with, I guess, we don't want to be competing. Like, the thing is, I have no idea how long the founding team is going to be continuing bribing the regime.
Right.
So that's the one that's, maybe Simon can help answer that, but that is, it'll be dependent on that as well, because if somebody is continuing to bribe, like, it doesn't make sense for the DAO to do it, because unless there's a lot of volume to capture the arrow rewards and all that, it just doesn't make sense to be farming when you're just competing while there's a farm.
I would say this pool wouldn't compete with the Bado ETH pool as far as the rewards are concerned, because how do I put this? Like, I mentioned this, if you check the forum, governance forum site where I gave the update as far as like I clarified TDC's commitment, it's actually really more so competing with the existing Bold pools on Aerodrome, because the way Aerodrome works again is the V Aero voters get the fees for the pools and the bribes, right? So the current Bold pools for LUSD Bold and USDC Bold, the fee for those pools is 0.05%, right? Because they're stablecoin pools. Right. So the V Aero voters may actually be more inclined from those pools to support the Bado Bowl pool. So we're really not competing. It's not really going to be competing with the Bado ETH pool, because the Bado ETH pool, the trading fee is 1%. So already it's above that 0.3% that this bold, the bold pool would have, number one. And number two, the bribes from the founder team, so long as they continue at the current level that they are, right? 100,000, 200,000 Bado a week over the past month or so. The bribes that TDC would be providing would not compete at all with that. So really, this pool would be competing with the existing Bado, with the existing bold pools on Aerodrome. It would probably be getting those V air voters to support this pool over anything else to begin with. Does that make sense?
I'm just trying to, like, it just depends on the size too, right? Because yes, you're allocating between the bold ecosystem, but then you're also trying to get other people to vote for your pool as well, not just within the bold ecosystem.
I think the bribes, that even with the bold bribes, like TDC, for example, this past week, their PIL initiative got about 3,000 bold, right? So they allocated 50% of that to Aerodrome bribes, so about 1,500. And right now it's about 2/3 to the USDC pool and 1/3 to the LUSD pool, the bold on Aerodrome. That would be cut down. Those two pools would receive a little bit less to accommodate the Bado Bowl pool, and the Bado pool would get 20%, right? So of that 1,500, for example, if we had a pool right now, the Bado pool would have got about 300 bold. That doesn't compete with the founder team, what they're doing with the Bado ETH pool, because the Bado ETH pool, I think this past week, got 100,000 Bado as bribes to V-Aero voters. It's about $30,000, right? Give or take on the... based off the current Bado price. So it won't be competing with attention from those Vieira voters. I think it's more so direct. So I hope that reassures the founder team. Like, this isn't meant to compete with their pool or what they're doing, like, by all means. And I think what they're doing also, I can't speak for them, but my perspective on it is potentially they're doing this to distribute the Bado supply more, which is good for decentralization, because by doing the bribes, you're distributing it to V-Aero voters and you're expanding the distribution of the supply of the token, which is good. How long that can go, though, I can't speak to that, because I don't know what they're doing. If they're LPs, are they farming the Aero and then relocking it? I don't know what they're doing. But the only reason that came up is just to show people, like, hey, this is what is happening now on Aerodrome, and what we're proposing with this pool is we can do this irrespective of what's happening with the other pool. Does that make sense?
It's independent. It's just, I don't know what. Like, I guess from my perspective, it's, yeah, if we can get more volume, that's what matters more.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now on the mainnet, like, I think about 55% of the liquidity in the Uniswap V2 pool on mainnet, where the LM contract is based, that's LPs in the LM contract. So come October, I don't know how much of that we're going to lose, right? But this opportunity, if the DAO approves it, we have another opportunity. We present another option for some of those LPs to say, hey, look, here's an option. We also have the Bado ETH pool, assuming the founder team is still bribing it come October. I don't know. But for sure, we would have this Bado Bowl pool available. But yeah, I'm happy we had this conversation. I think it helps to talk sometimes in writing. You just can't get things across. So as far as, like, next steps for this proposal, would you want me to add, like, as far as, like, being the specifications, hey, within, as far as, like, KPIs are concerned, if after 1 year this proposal does not exceed 100,000 TVL and does not surpass Uniswap V2 pool base volume, then some of this Bado will be returned, and I would personally return it myself, because TDC can't return it. It's going to be locked with them. The pool's going to exist irrespective of whether the KPIs are met or not.
If you could add in some sort of metric just so that the DAO, like, people who can't join the call are aware of that.
I think your audio break out a little bit there.
Is it better? Sorry.
Yeah, much better. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying it's good to outline it and just update the BIP so that people who couldn't join the town hall have an idea of, we at least we are holding ourselves accountable on some sort of metric, and then we can understand this is how it works, right? Because we always sometimes get comments from others depending on the BIP, and it'll be like, hey, are you guys like, how are you guys justifying this X, Y, and Z spend? For a new user that comes in and be like, oh, why did you guys do this? And then at least we have some sort of audit trail saying, hey, this is how we're looking at it. If it works, it's great. If it didn't, at least we tried. But at least have metrics, KPIs, so that everybody is like, all right, this is what we're trying to achieve. We looked at all the options. This is what it is.
Okay. What do you think about that, Simon? Does that sound good?
Yeah, I think my only question left was, like, Tom, you were talking about being amenable if it was a reallocation of POL, but is this around the original idea of just the 25K allocated with these metrics? Or I was trying to figure out where we landed here.
Well, that for me was saying, yeah, that was
for you, Tom.
Yeah, that was like 25,000 of bottle from our mainnet POL. So it's reallocating. So we're not adding new from the treasury. It's whatever is already out in Uniswap, and then just repurpose that, move it to base, and then use it that way.
Okay. And then the other part, I think more kind of like a general takeaway, I think this is always where I'm sitting on a lot of these conversations, is like the need for the more holistic discussion of treasury management, tokenomics, which we are, I think, just a heads up for you, we're putting our heads together next week. I think there's like some questions about where, for instance, bringing more of the liquidity into base. And I think that, like, looking at the overall flywheel, the economy with the new updates to like the way BATO works and like the kinds of actions that we need to incentivize. So I think this is a really good opportunity for us to also these conversations, I think, are also a good indicator of needing that more holistic view of treasury and tokenomics. Just wanted to flag, I like very much heard the need for that more holistic view that I think also helps create direction of, is there a gap here? How are we solving for that gap? What kind of solutions are needed to best complement the gaps? I think we'll have some good stuff coming there.
Yeah, just so you're aware, Simon, so Bryce is actually, he's been trying to join, but there's something with the Discord server. Like, he doesn't see the town hall chat or something. I don't know if you can.
Did he get verified?
If you could verify him.
Sure.
It seems like he's missing a role or something, because if you have time, he's happy to join the call, just he hasn't been able to see the town hall.
Yeah, this is recorded, so he'll be able to listen back to it. I do need to close it down because I got to get going, but I'll find it.
Token Bryce, Token Bryce. Yeah, Token Bryce is his username.
B-R-I-C-E. Okay, I see him.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I'll give him the role. But yeah, guys, thanks for chatting it out. It seems like this is productive for kind of finding alignment, and yeah, pretty impressive how much people stuck through with this as well in these deeper tokenomics discussions. Cool. Anything else? I think we can wrap it up there.
Yeah. So just to clarify, I'll recap. So we'll reallocate from POL then on mainnet to fund this, and then the KPI would be baseline minimum 100,000 DVL by the end of 12 months, Tom, and then all the other things obviously would, I guess, be variable, right? And I can't definitively say what the volume is going to be, but we can look at the Uniswap V2 pool as a benchmark.
Yeah, it's just maintain. Just maintain, we're not doing something. It daily. Yeah, we're not doing it daily. We're like, it's either like monthly or whatever, like the TVL maintain.
Like, it's not a dead pool, essentially. It's not a dead
correct.
Pool.
There's no way we're monitoring this on it every day, every second. Okay. We're just going to have at least some sort of, hey, this is a sort of benchmark, high level, like, to your point, like 100,000 TVL, like if we can maintain that for the year at least, and then volume is like at least double the whatever the existing POL pool. And I'm 50-50 on whether to include the other one, like the founding members, really? Just to have it compare to see like which one is performing better. But we can always see if other people have thoughts on it once you put that in.
Okay, cool. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Take it easy.
All right, thanks. All right. Take care.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye.